Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon to you, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Steve Jones PSU. Sean Carey here, and Steve Jones on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, yes, Ford, indeed. Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North Coast, Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, on the strip, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Where the suit could be king, Hummel's Wharf.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, you could be king there. We have a fun one coming up today, as far as I'm concerned. And that is Phil Steele being on the show today. I'm really looking forward to that. There are just certain people in what they do who just... You sit back and go, wow, that guy knows his stuff. Well, I can tell you right now, that guy knows his stuff.
I'm always concerned that you don't take enough time off every year. Well, there's one guy that has you beat when it comes to hardly taking any time off.
Right.
I mean, this is true. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke here. I think Phil Steele may only takes off like 1 or 2 days off the entire year. Other than that, he is going through like a fine-tooth comb every single college football team across the country to fill up that preview magazine, and it's always a phenomenal read.
Right. And that's, I think that what he does, if I were to ask him about Team 128,
boom,
he would know everything about Team 128. That's... I mean, that to me is important. That's really just impressive. Everything in this business is about preparation. And I don't care what anybody says. To me, everything in this business is about preparation. Take Sean. He's ultra, ultra prepared all the time. Now, there's some people that, you know, do the things by the seat of their pants. I mean, suit. But, I mean, it's... No.
What?
The suit. There's some people that do things by the seat of their pants. Look, you can't get away with it. You can't. And you want to know why? The reason that we try, it's not perfect, obviously, try hard to prepare as hard as possible. I don't care whether we're doing a game or doing a show like this. If you don't do it, aren't you ripping the audience off? I mean, that's the big part.
No, it's like if you're a cook. If you leave out a certain ingredient of that favorite dish of yours.
Or leave the chicken out for 2 days.
No one knows what happens after that. But yeah, I mean, you leave out that certain little secret ingredient or what makes or breaks the dish, you notice. You can tell.
Well, you know what? But I don't care who it is, a great chef or whatever. Those people who have been around a long time, all right, you mentioned this, the ingredient. I would bet 9.5 times out of 10, the first person to know they didn't quite do it right is that person. And 9.5 times out of 10, the person, when they've done it right, they know it right away. That's I think that's because if you've done it long enough, you know. Hey, by the way, pro football starts tonight. Cowboys and Cardinals are tonight. Right? It's tonight or tomorrow?
It is tonight, yes. The tonight. Hall of Fame game normally was played on Sunday nights, the day after the enshrinement ceremony. But, yeah, they're flipping the schedule around this year, so they decided to play the game first.
On then, a Thursday night.
And then the class of 2017, they will get their gold jackets tomorrow night. And then, of course, Saturday night will be the enshrinement ceremony as usual. So, yeah, the game kicks off the weekend instead of finishing the weekend. I don't know if that has something to do with that field issue they had last year.
They're also doing it on a Thursday night. You know, I'd like to remind you that NBC will also have Thursday night football again this year. Right?
But at least both teams going into this game will have a week and a half of preparation and not just 2 days.
Oh, for goodness sake. Dak Prescott's playing one series. I mean, my goodness gracious. They didn't even bring a towel for him to use.
I'm not even planning to watch it tonight. I mean, Bruce Arians has already said none of my starters are starting. It's like, why should I even watch? You know?
Because it's football. It's back. Come on. You'll watch a minute of it. What are you going to do, watch the Pirates?
Well, they're due for a win.
Due for what?
A win.
Brutal. Brutal. It's like, so what's the best thing to have with the Pirates right now? Steelers camp's going on. All right.
It reminds me that it's ironic you bring the Steelers up. It's like the Steeler fans go through this at least one or two times a year. What happens? Yeah, we play inferior to an inferior team. That's what the Pirates are going through right now. I thought the exact same thing. What happens to the black and gold here and there during a season? Or is it more to it than that with the team, with the Pirates?
I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Sometimes you're just not that good.
There's some Pirates fans that I know, and they have been posting on social media the exact same thing you just said. They finally just come to the realization, hey, my team is my team. It is what it is.
Right. Well, in other words, I mean, that was not meant in any way to be insulting.
No.
At all.
No,
zero.
It's just kind of the reality of what the team is right now and how it's...
I'm just saying sometimes it finally hits you. You know what? We're really not that good. I thought the Pirates were a 77-82 win team in spring training. And, you know, they're what, 2-8 in their last 10 games? All 10 games have been teams that are below 500.
And I remember what you said going into this 10-game stretch. Well, guess what's crucial? This next 10-game stretch, it's going to make or break the season. And sure enough.
Well, somebody said to me, he says, you know, all those teams they've been losing to, they all have losing records. And I looked at the person and I said, you do know your team is a losing record, right? And all of a sudden it's like the guy gave you the look of, yeah, you know what? Because how far below 500 are the Pirates right now? I mean, they've got to be like 7 or 8 games below 500 now, right? Where are they here? They are 5 games under. So they're much better than I thought they were. Now, they're 6.5 back, but they're 6.5 back of a team that's starting to play well. I mean, that's the difference. But they're playing 477 ball. All right. So at playing 477 ball, they would have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They only have 6 teams behind them in the league. They've got the 9th best record in the league. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th best record in the league. Like, eh. I mean, that's subpar. I mean, they're over 500 at home. They're under on the road. But they're not winning at home right now either. So, sometimes you just got to look around and say, you know, we're not really that good. And that's not an insult. That's just, I think sometimes there's got to be a realization that you are who you are. You know, I got Chad Kuhl going tonight against Romano. And for some reason, somebody has to explain to me why Cincinnati keeps beating them. Cincinnati's been doing this to them all year. All year they've been doing this to them. I mean, the Pirates have only beaten them one time all year. The Reds are 8-1 against the Pirates. Huh? It's kind of like that deal they went through for 2 years with Milwaukee. Here a couple of years against Milwaukee, no matter what. Milwaukee could, you know, have a 20-game losing streak. Pirates come to town and take 3 out of 4. Huh? So, they got the Reds tonight.
And they'll have Polanco back, too, since he's off the DL.
Yeah, but again, you know, I mean, let's just do a quick position-by-position thing. The Bell kid, I think, at first base is going to be a better version of Pedro Alvarez before it's all said and done. I don't ever really see him being a 280, 290 hitter. But I can see Bell being one of those 25, 30 home run guys, probably hitting about 260, whatever. He's going to be a good player. Harrison. Harrison's a good player, but he's far better suited to being the fifth infielder on a team than he is being an everyday guy. I know he made the All-Star team, but a lot of contending teams he would not be starting. I mean, do you think he'd replace Altuve at second? Do you think he'd replace Dustin Pedroia? Do you think he'd replace Robinson Cano? I mean, seriously. And you start going down the list of people, it's like, do you think he'd replace Javi Baez? But he'd be invaluable playing 100 to 120 games for any team. Invaluable. Playing 100 to 120 games, being that Brock Holt type of player. Jordy Mertz, so he's a good player, but not a star. Jordy Mercer's functional at short. Okay. David Freese is functional at third. Marte should be a star, but his season's all messed up. McCutcheon's having a great year. Great player having a great year. He really is. I mean, he's really come on. McCutcheon's played great. Polanco is good, to be honest with you. Polanco's good. He's not great. Polanco is good. He is not great. I like Cervelli a lot. Starters, I think Tyone has a chance to be a long-term star. Nova would be a really fabulous third starter for any team in baseball. I think a lot of teams would love to have him as a third starter. Cole is a good pitcher who should be a great pitcher and is not. Their bullpen is good. Rivero's a really good closer, but for the most part, I mean, like, they're just okay. The whole team is, outside of a couple of guys, is just okay. And here's the biggest problem I would have if I'm a Pirates fan. If I were a Pirates fan, this is what would really bother me. For how many years now have we heard how much talent they have in their farm system? Right? Over and over. How much great talent? Okay. Where is it? Where is it? At some point, shouldn't they have moved up to the major leagues? Where? I'll give you two examples. It'll both be, the Red Sox are a good team, not a great team. All right, quite simply. They're good, but they are not great. But last year, they were able to win the American League East and get to the playoffs. And one of the big reasons why is they were able to dip into their farm system. And what did they do, Sean? They brought up Andrew Benintendi. Guess what? He's good. this year, instead of making a trade for anybody, they brought up the Devers kid. Well, so far, I mean, he's going to have to go through the league a couple times before we get a real feel for it, but at least initially, he's really good. Who are the Pirates brought up that does that? Where's there been attending endeavors? Where are they? I mean, I've seen Austin Meadows play, and I know we've had Jason Rawlinson's on, talked about Meadows and the whole thing. A lot of people have talked about Meadows. I've seen Meadows play several times. All right. No offense, he doesn't light me up. Like, yeah, okay. I don't see it. And he's like the guy. He is the guy, the guy, the guy. I've watched the guy in person several times. I don't see it. Now, they have a shortstop at Altoona, Kevin Newman, their former first-round pick. I see it. I like him. He's a good player. But I don't see it. We've heard of, they've drafted. Okay. Well, now we're into this, what, the fifth year? They made the playoffs 3 years. Okay. Then they had last year, they didn't. Now this. So this is the fifth year. Well, all I've been hearing about over the 5 years is their great farm system, great farm system. Sometime in that 5 years, doesn't that great farm system have to pay off with several guys? I mean, so far they've produced out of that farm system a good player in Polanco, who leaves you wanting more. Mercer's been, as I said, functional. Bell. But where are the other parts? Where's the difference-making guy they can bring up now that can then help them? I mean, it's not like this is 5 years in now. 5 years. Where are these people? Where? And here's the biggest concern if you're a Pirates fan. Maybe they aren't as good as they were touted to being. I'm talking about the prospects. And I've watched a lot of them in person. And like I said, several of them that were highly touted, I walked away and went, eh, all right. And a couple of them I walked away and went, not bad, pretty good. All right, take a break. Back with more in a moment. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. All right, the initial coaches poll is out, and Penn State is ranked sixth in it. Alabama's number one, Ohio State two, Florida State three, USC four, Clemson five, Penn State six, Washington seven, Oklahoma eight, Michigan nine, and Wisconsin 10. Oklahoma State's 11, LSU 12, Auburn's 13, Stanford 14, Georgia 15, Florida 16, Louisville 17, Miami 18, Kansas State 19, West Virginia 20, South Florida 21, Virginia Tech 22, Texas 23, Tennessee 24, Utah 25, and Shikellamy 26. Oh, wait, that's a different poll. Maybe we should interview the play-by-play voice of the 26th ranked team in that poll. No?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, Sean and I just went through one of the ultimate hostage situations. You all right there, buddy?
We're awesome. Doing good.
It was kind of like verbal waterboarding. All right. Stop laughing.
It was good.
Stop laughing, all right? Mike Conti from Atlanta in a few moments. Phil Steele in the next half hour. That's going to be dynamic, I think. And Roxy Bernstein, final half hour. This day in sports history, in 1930, you know what? There's too bad the suit's still not standing there. There's a lot of Olympic news in here.
Nope, he's still here.
1936, Jesse Owens won the first of his four Olympic gold medals in 1936. In 1949, the National Basketball Association was formed. The league was formed from a merger between the Basketball Association of America and the National Basketball League. And in 1984, Mary Lou Retton won a gold medal at the Los Angeles Olympics. See, there's a lot of Olympic news in there. And if you watch the Olympic Channel, which right now has a rating of 0.1.
That was him.
I guess I was flipping through last night, and I'm talking like, when I mean flipping through, I'm just looking at the guide.
So your finger got tired and you just stopped there.
No,
unexpected.
No. I just saw what the topic was. Opening ceremony, London Olympics. Now, who wants to rewatch that?
Wow, even Kevin won't want to watch that. Wow.
I mean, who wants to rewatch that? I'm thinking we are so desperate.
Just fast forward to the torch getting lit.
Well, I could see where the Olympic Channel would be valuable with properties if you can show, for example, the World Swimming Championships live, the World Track and Field Championships live, you know, preliminary competition in figure skate, well, you know, something, whatever, where you can do as many live events as possible that are of Olympic sports instead of showing great marching moments at the Beijing Olympics. Well, what? And here comes the group from Albania. They consist of four people, all rowers.
Okay. Hey, we talked about being well-prepped at the start of the show. Bob Costas is well-prepped for those shows.
For everything.
Mm-hmm.
For everything Bob Costas does. Everything. He will no longer be doing it. And you know what's interesting is Bob Costas will no longer be hosting the Olympics. But he leaves that particular assignment going out on top. He leaves you wanting more. It's pretty good. I remember a couple of years ago, the Shikalimi broadcast. Do you remember this, John?
Yeah.
Did anybody leave you wanting more? Just wondering. More
3 weeks from tomorrow, coming back, be here before we know.
Yeah, but he's telling us during the break that he actually had put it for a vacation day that day, and then he forgot he had the game that night.
What's worse, going out on an early May morning, forgetting to wish your wife a happy birthday?
Oh, he did that too, didn't he? I forgot about that.
And then. You should have had August 25th circled on your calendar. You knew you were coming back for week one.
The problem is I had August 24th circled.
Road trip to Albright.
Look, an hour, drop them, go, okay? We're all done.
Not to be confused with catch and release.
So... We forget completely our wife's birthday, right? We forget that. As we're standing out in the golf course, he gives us, I guess it's my wife's birthday today. So all of us, of course, say, why don't you call her? Oh, yeah, I will. I know we were touched.
I texted her. That's good.
Right? And then, after this big, big build-up to the triumphant return, we forget all about that there is a return and take the day off.
I wasn't going to do the game. It's just that I realized that it's
took
the
a vacation
same day. It's like,
day.
Oh, well, you know, I might as well come in. I'm going to be in anyway.
You took a vacation day on a day where this big build-up, where they're doing this big ceremony for you at the stadium and everything like that, and they're bringing in Bob Costas to speak, and there's going to be a ribbon cutting for the Kevin Herb press box and the whole deal. I got it. And you forgot about it. He took a vacation day.
At least they're not calling it Memorial Press Box.
No comment. All right, so... But, I mean, you took the vacation day because you forgot you had the game. I mean, come on. I thought this was like the big thing to you. Oh, and by the way, did you tell him, Sean, about the guys I was golfing with at Cape Cod?
I did not tell him that.
You did not tell another one of the stories to people I don't know, did you?
He shared your the chudder with some friends up at Cape Cod last week.
And they thought it was an outstanding club.
They thought of something.
Not one person had ever heard of it.
You don't have to hear about it, you just have to know how it works.
Chudder's not big in Cape
Well,
Cod.
Well, then obviously in the last 6 years I've watched a lot of Operator Error. So, I said, this guy has this club called.
The guys you play golf with hit it on the green. In my case, I just like to be in the general vicinity of the green.
Oh, we know that.
Well, I told him that you're the only guy I've ever played team golf with that cheered missed shots so he could use the club. They were not impressed. They were like, really? I was like, yeah. All the rest of us, hey, Craig, great shot. Hey, Chief, great shot. You know, and then the captain depression, how come you didn't use mine? I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a reason. Oh, well. I thought he'd really, really embrace golf now. It's an Olympic sport. But, all right. Let's bring in Mike Conti now from Atlanta. Mike, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Steve, I've been great. How have you been?
Doing really well. Thanks. Had fun with your guys on the air that day. They did a great job, so I enjoyed it very much. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us. I'm sorry I missed you. I was out at the NBA meeting, so yeah. I was out of town that week, but I heard you did a great job.
I appreciate that. Before I actually get to the NFL part, how's your roof? Does it work? Does it work? Is it...
We might need the Penn State Office of Physical Plant to come down and help us out with that. No, it doesn't work right now, and they closed it because they thought, let's leave it in the closed position. That's a lot better than leaving it open and then having a rainstorm during Alabama-Florida State. What Steve is talking about is the brand-new $1.6 billion Palace Mercedes-Benz Stadium where the Falcons are going to call home and the Peach Bowl will be played there and the College Football Championship this year, Super Bowl next year. They have this fancy retractable roof that's something that's never been designed before. It's a first-of-its-kind roof, and they can't get the thing to open or close. So they put it in the closed and locked position manually. They actually had people up on the roof pushing it closed, and you know, a lot of people down here say it's an embarrassment. They're complaining about it. Quite honestly, I want the air conditioning on during the August preseason games.
Yes.
And the first couple weeks of the NFL regular season. So I'm good with it. If in October when the weather is really great down here in Atlanta and they can't get it to open, then I think we might have a different discussion.
But you know, it's amazing, though. I don't think it's embarrassing. I mean, because the fact that it's in the closed position means you can play games. I mean, so.
Exactly.
Right. And you've got climate control. That's fine. But don't you expect a little bit more for $1.6 billion? That's the number I look at.
Well, I'll tell you what. If Penn State is fortunate enough to come down here in mid-January, I think you will see. Roof open or closed, they got their money's worth with the $1.6 billion price tag. It really is a spectacular venue, and I'm saying that from a completely unbiased point of view, just as someone who appreciates a good venue. Even with the roof closed, you will see when the first couple games are televised, they have a scoreboard that almost hangs from the roof as a halo, and it's 11 stories tall. And when they told us it'd be 11 stories tall, I didn't believe it. I thought they were just exaggerating. And having been in there a couple times lately with the thing turned on, let me tell you, it is, in fact, 11 stories tall. So that's going to be spectacular. The sight lines are really great. There are suites and luxury boxes everywhere, concession stands everywhere. So I think they got their money's worth. It's just that one little last pickup of getting the roof working is the only thing kind of holding it up.
Well, when are they going to implode the Georgia Dome?
The Monday before Thanksgiving is when they're going to do it. They had actually halted demolition on the Georgia Dome a couple months ago when it looked like they might have a problem finishing the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium and getting it open on time for the NFL season. Now that they know that they are going to get it open, they've begun, again, the process of dismantling the Georgia Dome. And the Monday before Thanksgiving, they'll hit the button. And they're hoping to get all the debris out of there by the time the college football national championship game is played here in January, because they don't want a big hunk and pile of debris making those blimp shots look not very pretty.
Right. The Falcons themselves, I mean, the obvious question is going to be, where are their heads? You know, here we are 7 months after what happened in the Super Bowl. You know these people pretty well, so where are their heads?
You know, they say they've moved past it, but yet they'll say that in one breath, and then in the next breath they'll be giving an interview about it. Right. Or they'll be answering questions from national reporters who kind of parachute in to cover one day of training camp and leave, and they'll try to be really profound and ask all these Super Bowl questions, and that brings it back up. And, you know, even something as silly and simple as a meme that's posted on the internet or something that someone tweets, it's a constant reminder. And these guys are human. I don't think there's ever going to be a way where you're going to completely put that game out of your head, even if you turn around and win two Super Bowls in a row.
Right.
This is still going to be brought up as the one that got away. All of that said, I think they have the right coach to get them where they need to be mentally. Dan Quinn's a young guy, players coach, New Jersey guy, who is very, very laid back, a Pete Carroll disciple, really connects and relates well with his players, especially the young players. He has their respect. And I think Dan Quinn has been very, very positive and very, very willing to embrace what happened back in February. You know, there's a saying in the military. Dan Quinn's a huge supporter of the military and the Marine Corps, and there's a saying that comes out of the Marine Corps called embrace the suck when something goes wrong. And that was the theme of the OTAs and the mini camp in June. Let's embrace the suck. Let's identify what happened and what went wrong, and let's improve upon that so hopefully we don't get in that position again. From a player personnel standpoint, and we can get into it later, I think the Falcons have really done some positive things to address where they fell short in the Super Bowl.
In fact, personnel-wise, part of personnel that doesn't show up is not only talent but locker room presence. So every locker room is going to be different compared to the year before because there's turnover. So how different will the Falcons' locker room be that you think, in a positive standpoint, that actually allows them to go out and just play 2017 ball and not think about 2016?
Well, the one thing I think they did a really nice job of was identifying, hey, we lost the Super Bowl because our defense ran out of gas in the fourth quarter and overtime.
Right.
And that's a depth issue. And part of it was injury-related. Remember, I mean, Desmond Trufant, who's an all-pro corner, got hurt halfway through the season. They had a lot of injuries all across the board on defense, so you had guys who were projecting to be second team, third team at the start of the year in there in overtime in the Super Bowl, and they were tired. So they went out, they spent their first two draft picks on defensive players. They brought in a guy like Jack Crawford, who I know you know very well, Steve, and Dontari Poe to kind of shore up the middle of that pass rush right now. So I think in terms of the vibe in the locker room, that defensive side of the room now is probably thinking, you know what, good. We don't have to go out and play 70 snaps anymore. We've got enough quality depth where maybe our snap count goes down from 70 to 50 and we don't have to do as much. And that might relieve some of the pressure. But what's interesting, Steve, is you have a team that went to the Super Bowl and they're replacing both their offensive and defensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator, Richard Smith, was fired and replaced by Marquand Manuel. He was promoted in-house. The offensive coordinator was a controversial hire, Steve Sarkisian.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan, who I think pretty much everyone down here has blamed for the play-calling errors at the end of the Super Bowl, he's gone. He's with the 49ers. And Dan Quinn made a surprising and somewhat unconventional hire in Steve Sarkisian. But what has worked well about Sark being here is Sark understands you had an offense last year that was one of only 18 in league history since the merger that scored more than 500 points.
Right.
It's not well advised to mess with the playbook. So it's been more Matt Ryan and that quarterback room getting Steve Sarkisian up to speed on what they did last year than the reverse. And I think that is a good setup for having a new coordinator.
Mike, it's always a pleasure. A lot more ground to cover, and we'll do that at a later date. I appreciate it so much. I hope everything's going great for you.
Things are great, Steve. Good talking to you as well. We'll talk real soon.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. I saw footage of Ryan Tannehill's injury. Never got hit. Now, how extensive it is, I don't know. But he hurt his left knee. He was rolling to his right, and he was just going out of bounds. He just made it just a little jab step cut to get to the sideline, and we did the knee went. So that's not the... That's not good when that happens.
Will they get Colin Kaepernick on the phone?
There are some that say Jay Cutler's a better fit. No, I mean, look, the Kaepernick thing, after a while...
It reminds me of what you said earlier this hour when we were discussing the Pirates. Sometimes you just have to realize you're not that good of a team. So I bring up this question. Do we come to the realization that Colin Kaepernick now just is not a good quarterback, or he would now be on a team, or he would have latched onto a team before now?
Well, here's first of all, Kaepernick understands the game speed of the NFL, and so I mean that part is important. That's the part where, from a football point of view, you're like, okay, you know what? Why isn't a guy like this out there? Now, the activism part, we know about that. But, you know, some part that people keep forgetting over and over again, right? If you own something, you're entitled to hire whomever you want. And you're entitled to not hire whomever you don't want. Think you're all set someplace? Don't hire them. If you just aren't comfortable with the fit that you have, don't hire them. And that's something, like, just because he's an activist, you know, he's been a good quarterback. He has not been very good the last 2 years. But, what, just because it's Colin Kaepernick, you have to hire him? You can hire anybody you darn well please.
I think it's just a head scratcher, just the fall that he took after that flirt with grace, you know, greatness and being in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you know what? See, here's the issue with that. I've talked about this in baseball many times, Sean. You know, you have a style, a game. Okay? People have to adjust to you. When they do, you have to adjust back. He never did. He never adjusted back when they adjusted to him.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.